The reason we do marriage conferences, and if you missed it, you can be part of a marriage small group that's starting up right afterwards. And the reason we have small groups, and the reason that we have prayer ministers and places that you can get cared for outside of Sundays, is one very specific reason. When I became the lead pastor 8 years ago, serving over 20 years now at the church, I did so with one agreement, and it was this: that we were not going to be a church that only cared about a really cool service on Sunday morning. Just wasn't going to be it. That wasn't going to be our goal. Wasn't going to be what we were about. Our mission statement is that we are a diverse family who is making Jesus the center of, what's that next word? Everyday life. And we're showing the love of Jesus in everyday ways. And so my commitment was, I hope we have good and excellent services that are free from distraction and give you enough of what you need, although you'll never get everything. We're in a diverse group, so no service is going to be exactly how you would do it. But I pray that we do it well enough. I want us to have good services, but that's not my, I don't care about that. What I care about is that you have a great life. And I don't mean the world's version. I mean what Jesus said life was supposed to be about. That if Jesus came, the Son of God came down to this world and lived a sinless life and then gave his life and not only died on the cross but resurrected to give you this, an abundant life, then what we were going to be about in everything we do was to make sure that you lived a better life at home than what you live here at church. That's it. Because Jesus has promised an abundant life, but he gave us all a really clear warning that there is a thief that is out there that wants to steal, kill, and destroy. And if he really wants to do anything in your life, it's this. He wants to do it in your relationships. Because in the end, the quality of your relationships is the quality of your life. God is relationship. He built you for a relationship. He gave his son so to restore relationship. And what he wants you to do is reflect who he is and live out who he is to a world. And you can only do that with right relationships. Now, relationships are these really kind of tricky things in our lives because they're hard. And they've got one big problem. In every relationship, there's one big problem. And that's you're in it. Okay, that's the problem. All right, and I'm in it. And because of that, see, we've got some issues, right? We've got some things that are hard for us to deal with, and we've got some insecurities. I was Thursday, I went home, and Sarah and I were getting straight the schedule. She said, look at the calendar. And I didn't have my glasses on, so I hardly knew what I was seeing, right? And she's like, it's right, no, this. I'm like, is it the 8th? She's like, the 1st. The 8th, the 1st. What is it? The 8th, it's the 1st. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I just can't see right now, all right? I mean, just, you know, there's just little weird things that happen all the times in our life, and the enemy usually comes to steal, kill, and destroy through small lies and insecurities and attitudes and really false ways of handling relationship. And really, if we're going to live a better life, we've got to live better relationships. If we're going to live in the promises of God of abundance, then it's going to have to happen in our relationships. But most people come to church, and it's a beautiful expression of coming this way to God. But then we leave, and we turn into relationships all around us, and we miss the connect a lot of times. And so we want to be a church that's all about, that was such a great service, I want to be a better spouse today. That was such a great service. God showed me how to be a better parent today. That was such a powerful time in God's presence. I think I realized what I need to change at work. That's what this is all about. Because we give glory to God by loving one another well. And we show his love. We share the sacrifice of Jesus by the way that we have relationships. I'm sure you've heard this phrase, and it's a little early, so I don't have to worry about distracting you too much, but you know, better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. I'm starting a new business. Better relationships, better life, Papa God's. There it is, all right? This is what's going on here. Because when we do this right, there's this great thing called peace that works a lot better in our lives. But it really starts with better relationships. And so you and I have to learn how to do that. You can, maybe somehow we can create carry out and home delivery for that. It'll be awesome. I'm hoping you'll be the delivery people. All right, so here we go. So in this series, we're going to look at this fact, and we're going to begin now, and then we're going to go over the next few weeks with it. But if you want your most important relationships to be never the same, that's the title of the series, because I really felt like God says, that's what I'm going to do through these next 7 weeks. People are going to look past that, never the same. We're not going back to that old way. And never better, then you've got to invite Jesus to have control of them, right? Like, he's the source of abundant life. If I want life, I should invite him in. But most of us don't do this for some reason. We come to church, we pray God will fix the people around us, but we don't sense how God is sending us into the relationships different. And so we're going to read a story about that in Mark chapter 9. And it's going to start in verse 14. And if you haven't looked there and seen that on your notes, I want to encourage you to go there now. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. Because here's the story. Jesus has just finished the Mount of Transfiguration. He had an awesome service. Him and the three disciples, Peter and John, right? They get up there, and they're all up there, and Jesus is, transfigured there. They bow down. They worship. They wish they could stay there all day long. And then they come down into the valley, and this is the first story that happens after the incredible worship set they were just in. Here it is. Starting at verse 14, I'm just going to ask you to just get ready. This is the word of God right here. And when they came to the disciples, when they came down from the mountain, came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and the scribes arguing with them. Experts are always there telling you how to do things. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw Jesus, were greatly amazed and ran up to him and greeted him. And he asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered Jesus, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes so rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to Jesus. And when the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him." Notice this line. I love this. "But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." I'm going to read that one more time. "All things are possible for one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, because it wasn't about the crowd and what they wanted to see and what they thought about this moment. He rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." Jesus is the only one who can ever say that, and it happened. And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse. So that one of them said, "Great job, Jesus, he's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And we had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And Jesus said to all of us, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer and fasting. Lord, speak to us today. There's two ways to live your relationships in life. You're going to see this a lot as we move into it. There's a way that centers on the idea that relationships are hard and I'm a victim. And God, if you can do anything, you know, just throw me a bone. And then there's another way that we can live that says I'm not a self-centered victim where it's poor me, but I'm actually a victorious servant of the risen King, because all things are possible to the person who believes. I'm going to talk a lot about that. But you see, when we're in relationships, got my handy dandy magnets right now, and if they're north and south connecting, they fit just fine. If they're opposites, they fit just fine. If I come to a hard relationship with an opposite spirit, I usually can connect. But when the poles are all the same and I just invite and they give me an attitude and I give them an attitude back, and they're complaining about how nobody understands them and I complain to them about how they don't understand me, there's this invisible force that keeps us from getting together. Because responding in the same spirit with the same attitude, with the same approach, somehow there's this invisible force that doesn't let us connect. And you see, here in Mark chapter 9, there's two family members who aren't connecting. As a matter of fact, it's causing a lot of pain, and one of them is in a lot of trouble, and the other one's at the end of their rope. And Jesus says there's a mute and a deaf spirit. You ever been in that relationship where I can't talk to that person anymore? I can't talk to them anymore. Ever been in that relationship where it's like, they don't listen to a thing I say? Yeah, see, that's where this relationship is. And the father's done what a lot of us do. He's asked other people to pray about it, the disciples. He's complained about it. He can describe it. He's wished it will be better. But it hasn't actually gotten to Jesus yet. And a lot of times, out of good intentions, it's not a bad step. My relationship, my marriage, my family, my workplace, my school, my classmates, my family I grew up in that we only talk once every so often, and isn't that fun, all right? I go to church, and I try to learn a few things. I ask a few people to pray for it. I kind of throw up a few prayers, but Jesus hasn't really gotten in the middle of that relationship. We really haven't brought that relationship to him. And that invisible barrier that's there, because I keep responding in the same spirit with the same attitude, and that's how you treat me? Well, that's how I'll treat you. And I same magnetic poles keep trying to see if they can relate. That's got to get erased by the work of Jesus on the cross. And Jesus asked the Father the history, right? Well, you know the Father was ready to talk about that, because we have a bad relationship. We got a big, long story about how that's gone bad, right? And how I don't know. So what happens? They get rigid. They throw themselves around. Maybe there is a little foaming of the mouth in your relationships. You know, I don't know. And the cross has got to get in there, because what's going on in this story is there are hurting relationships, and the communication is absolutely broken down. And there are, let's not forget this, there are spiritual powers at work. And while the enemy, who steals, kills, and destroys, is trying to get me think about, I am not going to lose to that person. I'm going to win. We realize that we're playing into the hand of the one who's really winning. And that's the devil. That's what we're doing in that moment. And we're missing it. We're missing the spiritual war that's going on that is causing us, something's getting destroyed. And we've got to recognize that, and here's what I love. So we decide for one service or one prayer time, I'm going to bring Jesus into it. And guess what happens? It gets worse. I love this story. every time the father takes an extra step towards Jesus, it looks uglier, all right? I mean, when they first bring the boy to Jesus, he starts foaming around more and thrashing around more. And then when Jesus and his word, going to be important that it's his word that speaks over that relationship, when he finally says something to him, people are like, yeah, great going, Jesus. Now he's dead. Like, that was better, okay? So I want you to hear something, because there are relationships you and I have right now, right? Not hard to, like, that relationship's really bugging me right now. That's a hard one for me. I'm like, Jesus, I love you, but I'm not too happy right now, okay? That's I want you to hear this, because this is going to be the next few weeks. Bad relationships, they always threaten to get worse if you bring Jesus into them. Always. Don't give in to that. Don't do it. Pastor Sean, we're like, you know, oil and water. And I'm telling you what, we can't find, I mean, if we don't talk about the one sports team we both agree with, there's about nothing else to talk about. You want me to bring Jesus into the relationship? Oh, yeah, he's not polarizing at all. There won't be any strong opinions about him in the middle of our relationship. That's a great idea, Pastor Sean. Can't wait to do that. That's going to go really well. All right? Let me tell you what. Bad relationships always threaten to get worse if you bring them into Jesus into it. Don't give in to that fear. Now, we're going to talk about, over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about how you do that, because there are some ways that work and some ways that don't. But I want you to hear that last time I checked, he's the Prince of Peace. And if you're looking for peace in your relationships, he's the only answer. But it's kind of like someone saying, I'm really tired of the dark, but don't bring a light in here. That would bother my eyes. That's what happens when we don't make Jesus the center of our everyday relationships, regardless of whether Jesus is the center of their life or not. The Prince of Peace is the only one who can do that. And so I love the story, because what happens is Jesus seems to make it worse, but then we discover by the end of the story, yeah, you got to wait to the end of the movie, Jesus restores with all authority, because he said in John 28, all authority under heaven and earth has been given to me. I've defeated death. I've defeated sin. I've defeated religious opposition and strongholds. I've done it all. But here's where we come in all this. It's in prayer that his authority is in ours. Because I showed you those two triangles, right? And believe it or not, you can be a Christian and live in either one of those. You can be always down, always facing down, and basically relating to everybody like you're just a self-centered victim, okay? And it's all everybody's fault, and you're not wrong that people have done things wrong to you. But you may be wrong about how you're choosing to handle that, right? We can stay down there, or we can recognize that Jesus has absolutely said, I gave my life to you. I was the victim. I was the one victim of injustice. I was the one who took your sin. I, who was blameless, came and gave my life so that you never have to relate to anybody like that again. And as we're going to see start next week, when we choose to be a victim in our relationships, no progress. No progress. I mean, years and years. Not that you will say you have tried, but you're not going to see any results, because Jesus didn't die to make you a victim. Now, I want to be clear here. Many of us in this room, we've been victimized. There have been unjust things that have happened to us in deep personal ways. That is absolutely something that the cross of Jesus Christ and the love and the understanding of God is with you. But there's a difference between victimization and victimhood, right? Where I live, my whole identity and how I choose to relate to everybody is as a victim. Because Jesus made me more than a conqueror. John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. You don't have to live there. You can choose to come on up. And are those relationships still hard? Is there injustice around you? Is that fair? Are they cheating you right? Are they self-centered? Yeah, but you can be part of life up here. So we're gonna take a few weeks to break that down, but it really comes to this. I never, even in relationships, that never ever will acknowledge me the right way, at least up to now, I'm never a victim of them. Because I have an authority in prayer. I have an authority in prayer that changes things. And the victory I can experience may or may not be part of them doing the right thing, but I can have victory in that relationship in ways that make me glorify God and shine his love to everybody. So we're going to be about that. Jesus said in Matthew 16:19, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. That's authority. That's everything. I can unlock anything that's in this world. I can unlock it. Even if it's been like, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And so while we tend to look at our hardest and most painful relationships, some in our family of origin, how we've grown up, and now we're just not close to that brother or sister, or we've really gone different ways. Maybe it's in the family we are raising up right now, and we've got those different stages of everybody's life and how they're growing and changing. Maybe it's the family we've created and college friends that we used to be close to and we're not anymore, or workplace people that, I mean, we've got to function to get life at a good level, and we're just not, or I don't know what it is, but we've got authority in prayer. And we can spend all of our time kind of wishing to God that things would change, or we could understand how we are a victorious servant. We can serve God's good work. Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. We've got to begin with prayer in the spiritual realms. We've got to begin there, and we're going to talk more about that. So here's the truth. My relationships are only as good as my prayer life. Uh-oh. Because I have authority in prayer. So I can pray that God does things, and as God is taking his time, because people are not robots and relationships are going to take time, and as God is speaking to that person, I can plant the right seeds, I can declare the right things, I can invite Jesus into the middle of that, and I don't have to be a victim, even as it's a painful portion of relationship with that person. My relationships are only as good as my prayer life. And guess who's responsible for my prayer life? Me. Okay. So here's what I want to invite you to do as we enter into Lent. Lent is the season that comes up, the 7 Sundays moving up to Resurrection Sunday, when everything changes. When nothing's the same, all right, where we focus on giving some stuff up and focus on the cross and what Jesus has done in the sacrifice. And what I'm inviting you to do and what I am doing is I'm going to take at least 3. I've actually got 5 on my list because I'm a jerk in several ways to many people. I need more prayer, okay? What 3 relationships need to change in your life? What are they? And will you, during the season of Lent, will you give up some of your attitudes about those people, and will you actually pray for them? That's the invite. It's getting quiet in the room. All right. So the story tells us a few things. First of all, we need to get praying. All right? We need to get praying. If we will pray according to God's word, anything is possible. It doesn't mean things are going to change overnight. Because God's working a heart into a very new place. And so we've got to just begin to pray. And the story tells us that it's what Jesus says to the boy, not what the father says to the boy, that changes their relationship forever. And so what we want to pray is that God will begin to speak to that person. That it's not necessarily that I will win with them, but that Jesus will win with them. Because if Jesus wins with them, I'm probably going to enjoy the beauty of what happens there. And so what I want to do is I can kind of I can lament and grieve and just kind of, it's fine to tell God all the things about the relationship and all my opinions about it. But what I really want to do is I want to pray God's word. We're in the middle of Mark right now. You're actually going to read this passage, I think, on Friday. And every time I read the word of God, I try to find one verse that I could say, God, this is what I'm asking for. This is what I'm praying for in a relationship. And so this week, as you jump into the Bible Project or wherever you're reading, you can every day pray for, find one verse and say, God, I'm praying you'll do that in that relationship. Let Jesus speak to them. One of the things you can do is you can pray that the veil, the things of the enemy that are trying to stay in front of their face so they can't see Jesus, you can pray those down, say, Lord, would you help them see you? Lord, I know they're stressed at work. I just pray that you would remove the stress so that they can see you. I know that that's painful. I know that, whatever it is. But what we want to do is we just want to get praying. In the book of John, Jesus said, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. In his name means in his purpose, in his way, in his time. George Mueller, one of the great men of faith in the 1800s, I believe, when he came to Christ over in England, he had five friends that he said, Jesus, you radically changed my life. Would you help all five of my friends come to know you? Three of them came to know Christ within 10 years of his conversion. One came 25 years after his conversion. And the last person he prayed for to know Jesus knelt down at his casket and accepted Jesus. So we can't choose when and how this looks, but we can choose to pray. And what we've got to do is we've just got to recognize it's all about in his name so that we can love each other better. Let me move on. We got to get serious. We got to get praying, but we got to get serious because I love what the Father says. You know, he's like, oh, you know, Jesus, if you can do anything. Well, let's get serious about whether we think Jesus can do anything. All right? Let's just get serious about it. And the only way we'll really show we're serious about it is by being consistent. Because what you are convinced of, you do consistently. All right? So what I want to encourage you to do, and Jesus said it in Luke 18, is we've got to always pray and not give up. I'm going to say that again, and I'd like you to say really out loud, amen. We got to always pray and not give up. Amen. Got to do it, all right? So we're going to go back to the cell phone. It's one of my favorite little reminders. And I'm going to invite you to pop on it an alarm at 9:29. Now, I'm putting it at 9:29 a.m. and p.m. because Mark 9:29 says, this thing only comes out through prayer and fasting. So I want to remember that. And I've put the initials of some people on my alarm so I see it. Just went off at the end of worship. I put it nice and low with a pleasant sound, okay? Friday, you know, 9:29 at night, not so much. But that's my little reminder. I'm going to pray what? Consistently. Because what I do consistently is what I really believe in. And this dad's honest. He's like, I believe, but I don't. Help me, right? So we gotta get into consistent place. So that's my invitation to you starting today. You can do it right now. 9:29 on your phone. Don't write out their names, okay? Just maybe put a little initial or something or just remind yourself of prayer. Because Mark 9:29 says these things only come out through prayer. And if you look at the footnote, fasting. I gotta give some stuff up. All right. Next one. We gotta get praying. We gotta get serious. But we got to get together because the Bible says that there is power in the agreement of prayer. That there is power in the agreement of prayer. Jesus gives us great authority in prayer. We're going to, starting this Saturday, because Lent starts first Wednesday. We're going to have a worship service this Wednesday night, just prayer and worship. That's all we're going to do for a little under an hour. And then what we're going to do is starting every Saturday from 9 to 10 a.m., this sanctuary is going to be open, and different elders, pastors, and leaders have already agreed to be here, 9 to 10 a.m., we're going to just have prayer, and we're going to get together to pray and just say, Lord, would you move in our relationships And then we're also going to say, Lord, would you move in our community? Would you read out loud the Lord's Prayer? It's what we're basing our 7 Saturdays of prayer on. Would you read it out loud with me right now? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine. Amen. There's a lot of us language in there, right? So we want to do it because if my people will pray. And not just our relationships, but our community needs healing. And that's on us. We're not victims of where our community is at. We're supposed to be victorious servants, right? And so what we want to do is pray. We want to pray for our community. We want to pray for them. And so what you'll see in that little hour time every Saturday is we'll start off with the section of the Lord's Prayer that we're praying for that day. Someone will share a little bit to understand how to apply that. And then what we're going to do is we're going to pray for our 3 relationships. We're going to pray for our church family. And then we're going to pray for our community. My daughter, Rachel, is, and there's my son-in-law, almost to be, Patrick, right over there. They're getting married in May, right? And it's an outdoor wedding, right? Which is so beautiful. And so let's see how it goes. Okay, you know, you just got. And so we're praying for that day. And, you know, I'm just praying that the father of the bride holds it together. Okay, just hold it together. But if the father of the bride, if I just pray for the father of the bride to hold together, but I don't pray for the weather, I'm probably missing an important thing that's going to affect all the relationships of that day. Right? We got some weather going around us outside those 3 relationships or those 5. There's some weather going on. There's some things happening in our community. And to pray for my relationships, I want to pray for the weather around those relationships too, because that has an impact. Right? I want to pray for what God's doing in my community. Matter of fact, finished staff meeting, telling our team about this staff meeting, and one of our school board members called me up at the end of the meeting and said, I'm just driving, I'm kind of, something really grieving me about our community, and I just thought I'm going to call Pastor Sean about it. I said, you should call Pastor Sean about it, because we're praying for our community for the next 7 Saturdays. What do we need to pray for? You know what she told me? She said, you know, there are so many of our young people that they are so, she said, you know, there's like, I would say, Sean, like 90% of the fights and turmoil going on in our community are because of social media. And I don't know how we can get our young people to like reboot that thing and get off that thing a little bit more. And I'm like, don't worry, we'll start praying about it this week. All right? Because we have authority. We're not victims to that. We can be servants of that. We say, God, begin to change the atmosphere. So we might lead you into some ways to do that coming up. I thought this was really interesting. This was at our local YMCA that does a great job of inviting all people in and then showing them the love of Christ. And this is outside this is right above the water fountain when I'm sweaty and nasty from playing too much basketball. And I thought, this is really interesting. Talked about our changing community. Talked about the millennials are now the largest generation in U.S. history. And we need to pray for them, right? And also talked about by 2030, our seniors, and 1 out of every 5 are going to be there. Talked about this issue of 13% of the population is foreign born, and 1 in 4 kids under the age of 6 is a child of an immigrant. Now, more than 60 million speak a language other than English at home. All these things that are true about our community and about and all the families that Jesus loves, talked about those and their sexual orientation and gender identity, and mentioned how their teenagers in that lifestyle are 4 times more likely to attempt suicide. And here we have the answer of love and grace and hope and truth that can come into their lives. And it's just talking about the issue of poverty, the issue of diverse abilities, and the issue of the rising religious unaffiliated. Our community, right? yeah, Pastor Sean, we should complain about that and circle up the wagons and just wait for Jesus to get there. Or we could be servants of a victorious king who says, this is our chance. We're not victims. We're servants of the victorious king. Let's get to work. This is our opportunity. And so here's the question. Are you willing to pray consistently for your three relationships and your community until Resurrection Sunday? Would you be willing to do that? You know? Just like, hey. So I'm going to invite you to do a few things for me today. We're going to just finish up in a word of prayer, and then Pastor Brandon is going to come back up and remind us about these bless a business. Like, we can look at the community and say, man, they really, we could actually go bring them a gift of grace and of love and share with them a little bit. Great testimonies like Tyler gave us. And we could pray, and then what we're going to do starting next week, starting the year, is we're calling everybody. Let's pray first. Let's get to pray. Let's get serious, all right? Let's get consistent. Let's get together. And then what we're going to do starting next week is let's love differently. And we're going to show you a different way to get to those relationships. Really simple. I think you're going to love it. And for me, I'm going to love it, because instead of just having great services, hopefully all of us are going to go to the next level of having great relationships, great everyday life. So on your connection card, you will see that there are seven Saturdays listed there at the bottom of the front on that, what was known as, we were told was hot green, okay? You've got to figure out your schedule, but my challenge to you, and online as well, is would every part of our church family, would you make at least one Saturday during the next 7 weeks? Instead of fasting, candy and cookies and coffee and other things that begin with C, would you actually fast a little comfort on a Saturday morning to press in and pray for revival? Just pray God do something you never did. And I encourage you, I hope you'll go to more than one. I'm sure, I'm starting up soccer with my son. I'm the coach. I'm sure there's a Saturday I'm not going to be able to make, and a lot of you work on Saturday. So I get it. But would you make a decision? It'd be nice to begin to know who that is for the sake of how we want to prepare for each of those Saturdays. So if you do have a sense and if you just want to say, hey, I'm definitely going to be at the first one or whatever it looks like, we'd love for you to be at the last one. It's the day before Easter Sunday. But would you just... when you finish your connection card, on the other side, you can put prayer requests and praise reports. But what we'd love for you to do is to say, hey, I'll at least that be at one, and we'd love to start getting a sense of that. And that could be a commitment today. Because it's great to pray, and I don't want you to misunderstand me. What happens in the middle of a service is incredibly significant, because relationships begin with a decision. And so it's beautiful that you're here, and it's going to matter in a moment that we pray together. But then we got to get serious about, let's just keep praying, right? And not give up. Let's get together and pray. Maybe some of your small groups can take some time to do that as well. And then I'll try to shepherd you well over the next 6 weeks about some different ways to do it. So we don't get this, but we respond with the opposite spirit and get this, okay? Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. And we're just asking that in this moment you would quiet our mind and our hearts and cause us not to have a spirit of fear. Lord, I pray for grace over, I think about that person and it gets me all worked up real quick. Or it's a little painful. I just pray right now in the name of Jesus that we'd be able to give that person to you and not hold on to them, but let you hold on to them and pray that you speak to them. Lord, I believe that this is a defining moment in some of our personal history today. And I just ask that online and together in this place that you would bring us together. And if we are now beginning to see how the enemy's trying to convince us to be a victim and we're blaming and we're complaining a lot more than we're contributing, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would forgive us. I pray that the Prince of Peace would come to families of origin, brothers and sisters, moms and dads, cousins and aunts and uncles. I pray that the Prince of Peace would come to families that are growing up right now with each other. I pray that you would watch over this church family and not allow relationships, not allow the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy in this place. We're diverse people. We're different. It's so easy to misunderstand each other. I pray that you would do it in our workplaces. I pray Bless a Business would change some atmospheres, the weather surrounding some relationships. I pray for our community. Lord, we're so thankful for people who care enough to serve our community. I pray that you would encourage them today. I pray that you would give them, Lord, just surprises of good news when they handle a lot of bad news. Would you take a moment and pray for the three relationships right now that are in your life? Just take a moment of silent prayer, and then Pastor Brandon's going to come and close us.
Jesus, thank you that on that day, when you saw that boy who was sick, God, you knew you could heal him. God, when you saw him, God, entrenched in the demonic weather that was around him, you knew you could set him free. And God, thank you that when others saw that boy as someone who was dead, there was no more life, you knew that you were the life and the resurrection, and that nothing was impossible for you. God, would you help our unbelief in this next season? God, we offer broken relationships. God, we offer relationships that have been wounded by the weather that's been around it. They're just entrapped in bitterness and just cycles of pain and hurt and brokenness. God, we bring you dead relationships. God, we have lost hope in these places. We look at them and say, there's no more hope. There's no more life. But God, we're bringing them to the one who is the life and the resurrection. Help our unbelief. And God, would you give us courage to be servants? Servants of your victorious, life-giving kingdom. Lord, heal our community. Lord, heal our community. God, break through like only you can do. And we make ourselves available to you. God, we promise, we make a promise today to pray through, not to commit, to be consistent, based on the conviction of your goodness and your faithfulness and your ability. Thank you, Lord. And now unto him who is able to do so much more than any of us could pray or ask or imagine, Lord, we commit these relationships, this community to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you just commit that to the Lord today? Come on, just let him know. Lord, we trust in you. Yeah. Man, thank you, Pastor. Man, can we just thank God for that word? What a word. Man, to encourage your heart. I hope you have hope today for some places where you didn't earlier. And I hope you'll walk out of here not a victim, but ready to make a difference, ready to believe again. That's what we want for you, and that's really what our hope is that that's our message to this community, that there is hope for you. And as Sean, our pastor, said, we have this thing, an opportunity. We are better together. When we come together, we can do something bigger than any one of us on our own. And that's why we're asking, we're believing that would you just pray, and would you consider walking out that door in that foyer and signing up for a business? We found over 150 businesses in our community. You know of some that you go to all the time. My dentist, we see him all the time. Same hygienist. Man, she's seen my teeth. I think I can tell her about Jesus. I mean, she knows it, the rest. So let's just find ways, man. Let's let kindness lead this month. Amen? So would you stand with me, and I'm going to invite you. Man, I just want to speak a blessing over you, and then I'm going to invite you outside to go adopt a business. We'll tell you everything you need. It's an easy way to just show some kindness. Head out there. Do it before you get your kids, if you don't mind. Just let's be a church that makes a difference in this community. Lord Jesus, we just offer all this to you and ask that you would be blessed and you would be glorified now to him who is worthy of all our praise and honor and service. Lord, we surrender it to you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for being here. We can't wait to see you Wednesday night for First Wednesdays. Have a great week, Cornerstone family.